Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 21st February 2019, Thursday class. We are having it at Brother Teo and Sister Padmasri's house. So now, after the puja offering, let us compose our mind. Develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the chanting. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwansi Pusa. Namo Kwansi Pusa. Namo Kwansi Pusa. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1. Okay, there is a bit of distortion just now. So turn to page 1. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Mani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Adhe Sumicha Chara Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Usawada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Japa Madatana Ramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Patipa Puja offering of light. Ganna Sarapaditena Dipena Tamadangsena Diloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang Ganda Sambarayutena Dopena Hang Sugang Hina Pujaye Pujaniyantang Puja Bhajana Muttamang Vanna Ganda Gunopetang Etang Kusuma Santatin Pujayami Monindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Sumenanena Punnena Buddhena Chahotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tathayati Vinasa Bhavang Adivasetu Nobante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Muttamang Adivasetu Nobante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Muttamang Adivasetu Nobante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Muttamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple J. Padang Pujami. Tamang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall have half an hour of silent meditation. We are off the light. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you can just proceed. Oh, okay. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you straight away proceed. Just remember the four support. Relax, aware, then maintain the awareness for 24 hours if you can. Then the last support, the last step of the support is trust. The one you only do later, when you have developed the ability to train your mind to have the complete silence. Means the natural state of mind that is completely relaxed, aware, not in the state of conditioned mind. Means it's a free mind in samadhi on its own. Once you can do that, then only the last support come in. The last support is trust. Trust means you trust your nature to do the meditation. There is no thought involved. So during that stage, you silence your mind and completely relax. Then stay at the heart area, your awareness. Just silence everything and stay at the heart area. Then let your silent mind detect the gateway. Then because you trust your nature, there is no thought, it will be able to locate the gateway on its own. The moment it locates, your form and mind will know. Because all of your whatever energy that you have developed through the meditation, they will start to melt inside there. And you will feel the very soothing, relaxed flow of energy going in naturally, without any thought to move it, without any interference from the thought. So that is the four support. For those who still need to train your mind, then you continue to train your mind. If your spiritual faculty is still not stable, then you may need to use a skillful means to anchor your mind, to develop the stability of sati, then stabilize it. Whatever object of meditation, method or technique that you are familiar with, you can use them. But the key is the four support. Relax, aware. Aware means aware of whatever object of meditation that you are using, if you have. Otherwise, aware of your in and out breath. Then continue to train this mind until it develops the ability to be completely still and silent. Means the mind has such stability of sati, it is able to enter sati on its own. When the mind enters sati, you don't have to do anything. The mind will just become quiet, still, on its own. That is the meditative mind, the silent mind, the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, or we call it Vasati. Vasati is an enlightenment factor. So whatever meditation you do, you need to allow your meditation to realize this state of sati means from sati accumulating to pasati, the mind become very quiet, very still. That's why we call it tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. And if you can maintain that for as long as you can, the mind will enter sati and it will become more and more refined. Then after that, the mind that has this ability to enter sati is very sensitive. Wherever you locate this mind, it can be aware. And it can be aware of even your subtle breathing, your subtle object of meditation and all these things. Then later on, if you can, you just silence everything and stay at your heart area. You can detect whatever vibration or your heartbeat, you just stay there, be with it until that heartbeat becomes very, very slow, very slow, very still, until everything becomes very quiet. Then you silence everything. During that time, you can have the appropriate condition. The silent mind will detect the gateway, then all the movement will happen by itself. You don't have to do anything. The moment you detect it, you will know, your form and mind will know. But during that time, don't try to know, just let it happen. Just maintain, relax, aware state, and let everything happen by itself. Means let the nature develop its own movement within. Don't try to interfere with your thought. Don't try to know. Okay. So now I will let you meditate on your own. When the half an hour is up, I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we will continue with our second session. Before that, we will invoke it. We will do the invocation to the devas. Then after that only, we commence our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question and answer session. Okay. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out, huh? Meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo
Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaram Punya Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you have. You can ask all the questions related to meditation or the Dhamma. Thank you. Okay, the mic is in Ling B's place. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question, you just raise your hand. They will pass you the mic. Yeah, pass to NG. Yes.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Ah, yes.
Hope you get well soon.
Yeah. I'm okay actually just now because the I don't know what is it, the incense or don't know what. No. Oh. It was okay. Then the ventilation was not good. Oh. Then that thing caused the thing to run a little bit of. I don't call it a running nose. It just the mucus came out. That's it. Because the ventilation, I don't know what happened. It's okay. Yeah. You continue. Yeah.
Okay, Brother.
Yeah. Yes.
I am doing meditation. It's very comforting and relaxing.
Okay.
You know, now that I'm doing more regular meditation, I realize that.
Very good.
Yeah, there's more awareness about the breathing.
That is a very good sign.
Yeah. Previously, I used to take, you know, I think I used to be, not aware of breathing. Yeah.
Most people are totally not aware when they live their daily life. They are most of the time thinking, lost in thought, busy doing a lot of things, but hardly aware. Hardly aware means they really don't know what is going on. They are conscious of life. That part, you have to understand. If you are not conscious of life, you cannot be alive walking. So you are conscious of life, but you are not aware. You know the difference. To be conscious means to be alive, because you have to be conscious. If not, you will be either sleeping or you are unconscious. When you are unconscious means either you get a stroke or somebody hit you and knock you off, then you lost consciousness. That one is you become unconscious. Then when you sleep, you also either, most of the time you are unconscious. Sometimes you may be semi-conscious before you go into deep sleep. But to be aware is totally different. Awareness and consciousness, they are two different things. You can be aware when you are sleeping. Yeah. you can be aware when you are going about doing your things. But please understand this thing. You can only be aware of one thing at a time. You understand? But sometimes because your mind is so fast and your awareness, you don't worry. No matter how fast the mind moves, if you are silent, your awareness is able to be aware of it, mindful of it. So the awareness that is aware of all this movement is different from the thought. The thought is the mundane mind. The mundane mind is a different movement. But when you are aware from inside, that awareness is aware of this movement. So if you really meditate and cultivate and develop the sati, you will be more aware. There will be more moments of mindfulness. And how did the more moment of mindfulness come? It come about because you are less heedless. You are not like before. The only thing can cause this change is to an understanding. When you understand, your mind does not stir so much like before. Before you have this awareness, your mind is very reactive. Every moment of sense experience, it will react, stir, and think. That's why you have a lot of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And this movement, they are so rampant until it become habitual. It happened to the extent that you are totally unaware that you are being heedless. And this habitual tendency has become so deeply ingrained or ingrained in your character. And you take it for granted. That's why you're hardly aware throughout the day. But most of the people, they are like that. Because they don't have the spiritual faculty. Without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will be there. And the mental hindrance is the one that causes your heedlessness. That's why the first two mental hindrances, sensual desire and ill will. So these are the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. That's why every moment of sense experience, these two is very active. And if throughout the day has been doing all this, it become a habit. And when it become habit, this is your habitual tendency. That's why if mental hindrances are there almost all the time, how can you be in the meditative state? How can you be aware? How can you be peaceful? You can't. And worst of all, not only these two, which are very powerful, the other three also very powerful. If you don't see the importance of meditation, or if sometimes your body is tired, then when you want to sit and meditate or develop mindfulness, you become sleepy. Sloth and torpor come in. And again, this is a mental hindrance. And it will knock you off or make you drowsy. Lethargic mind. Sleepy mind. So this mind got no virya, cannot maintain awareness, cannot be awake. Then the fourth and fifth mental hindrance also same. The fourth one is the most powerful. Restlessness of mind. Why is your mind restless? Because you have problem. When you have worry, anxiety, problems, leading to sorrow and lamentation, or fear, worry, anxiety, your mind becomes restless. You lack peace. Because you worry. And your mind is never able to settle down because of your problem. And this happens when you break precepts, when you do things that are not in accordance with society's law and nature's law. That's how this mental hindrance comes. And when it comes, it's very powerful. And these mental hindrances are mostly related to the First Noble Truth reality. Sometimes when you confront birth, old age, sickness and death, without understanding, you tend to have fear, worry, anxiety, you panic, you project your thought. Then sometimes it can be health problem. Also you have problem. You go and project your thought, worry, financial problem, career problem, relationship problem. All this can bring about a restless mind. The last one is doubt. When you have doubt, you lack understanding, you lack faith, you lack confidence. So this doubt will make your mind very weak. That's why doubt is also a mental hindrance. When you are not sure, you are insecure. You don't have the faith. Otherwise, you are very, very calm, very peaceful. But because of your doubt, you are not sure. Then your mind becomes heedless. So this is how the lack of mindfulness or lack of awareness happens. So for us as a cultivator, the first thing we need to train is to develop the training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful. And to be aware is very easy. You just relax and silence your mind. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. So don't try to be aware. The trying is by the thought, and the thought will make you active again. So don't use the thought to make you mindful. That nothing by the thought is not mindfulness. You need to silence your mind. So first training is to train your mind to be aware, to be in the state of relaxed awareness within. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. It will lead to heedfulness. And the Buddha said, the moment you have heedfulness, you will never die. The heedful will never die. And heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you are heedless, you are not able to be heedful. The heedless are as if dead. So to be in a state of awareness or what they call stability of daily mindfulness is very important. Otherwise you cannot be aware. And to be ever mindful, it has to be very stable. So when you are mindful, you cannot think. You cannot be heedless. So it's either or. So meditation will improve your ability to be mindful, to be aware. And the most important quality for awareness to stabilize is wisdom, the initial wisdom at least, yoniso manasikara. It's only if you have developed your mind until it is quite stable in its ability to be aware in the midst of life, then you use that quality of mind to reflect, to contemplate on the Dhamma. Then listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, develop the faith. And this is how you develop the initial wisdom through the first and second turning of the Four Noble Truths, to develop the corresponding wisdom called Suttamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya. When you have developed this, your initial wisdom will actually make your mind peaceful, calm. Because once you have this initial wisdom, you will not be deceived by the phenomenal world to the extent that you every time react and stir your mind. Most of the time, your mind will not stir and react like before, because you understand. You can accept the reality of the moment. You can accept people for what they are. So when the mind develops this initial wisdom, most of the time you are at peace. You can accept things as they are. Then you just have more and more moments of silence. And this comes about because the dependent origination, the first two links, already very clearly define what Sankara is all about. He said, dependent on avijja, ignorance, lack of right view, it conditions sankhara, mental activity, thinking, and all these things. So when you have less wrong view, less avijja, this will weaken the first two links. The first link linking avijja to sankhara will be weakened. So when this one weakens, you have less thinking, less stirring of the mind, less mental hindrance, less thinking. You develop more moment of awareness. That's how you start to experience the difference. Like one Angie go through. Now she is more aware. More aware means more moment of awareness. Every moment you are aware, you are without thought. But you cannot develop the stability of it over a period of time in your daily life, then it is still not stable enough. That's why stability of daily mindfulness is very important. Okay? And now you continue with your question. You just describe how you improve. Now, if you have any question or you want to ask further your question, you can continue.
Okay. Yeah, Brother Tim. Yoniso Manasikara is a wise attention at the
moment of sense experience. Means you must have it. Your wisdom you cannot learn. You must awaken to it. Awaken to it means when you do the first turning, second turning, and the third turning. If it arises, then you have it. If it doesn't arise, you still don't have it. That's why most people don't understand this. What they understand is theory, knowledge. And this one will not help you. Well, this is not wisdom, not the initial wisdom. Not, I think you haven't off everything. Push it all the way down. The one that people, like through reading or through listening, when they listen to the Dhamma, you know how they listen? They listen like school children. They memorize, understand? Memorize means what? Like you go to school, you will learn the ABC. Then you learn the pronunciation. So for the pronunciation, what did your teacher do? 1, 2, buckle my shoe. 3, 4, shut the door. So they create rhyme for you to remember and pronounce correctly first. So it's all memory. So you memorize. Then most of the time, they don't know the rationale behind. Then later on, the education system was over. That day I saw in the video, I don't know who sent. Must be a teacher, I think. This retired headmaster, I think you all saw the video, I think it was an Indian. He tell of the education minister and all those education ministries, senior staff. He said, what happened to our education system is very obvious. He said, when he was sent in the early years to the school to teach, he said, what type of rubbish are they teaching nowadays? The kids, the 1, 2, the 3, especially the 1 and 2, how can you teach them things? You shouldn't be teaching them things. Because these things will never go in. They are still too young. You should let them learn all the very basic things, pronunciation, everything. Then the only thing you can teach is arithmetic. Teach them how to count, pronounce, develop the language and all things. Apart from that, don't teach them anything. But he said, our education ministry is a crazy fellow, is a very theoretical fellow. Introduce so much theory of other rubbish. Because these are the children, their mind very clear. They supposed to slowly develop the ability to absorb and understand things. But before that, you will have to allow them to go through that phase that suits them. As I initially, it's more activity-based. Let them develop the interest of the study curriculum. Then just teach them very basic things. So Dhamma also same. Not until they reach certain maturity like standard 3, standard 4, or standard 5, or standard 6, you can't really teach them much. Because whatever they learn, they don't really understand. I give you an example, you will know. If you take your kid who is only standard 5, standard 6, go overseas, US, Europe, come back, you think the kid will understand much or not? Huh? They won't even know much, isn't it? Well, they are not mature enough. We go there, at least for us. Maybe some parents, they already travel before. So we go there, we really enjoy the trip. Then we really can learn a lot of things, especially we are cultivator, we have mindfulness, awareness. Then we can develop a lot of understanding. But the kid, even Form 1, Form 2, remember, you take them there, they come back. After a few years, you ask them, you remember that tree or not? Huh? Got me? We got go me? Or they tell you, don't know lah, that they maybe too young lah. Because they are not mature enough, you understand? So Dhamma is the same. Initially, when they go, they are like this kid, memorize, understand? Memorize. So when they listen to the standard Dhamma talk, you know what they will try to remember or not? Oh, 5 precepts, they rattle for you. It's Panatipata, the Pali. But I ask them the meaning, they don't know. Understand? Then sometimes, those a little bit attentive, because sometimes they need to pass the exam, Pali exam. What are the 3 evil roots? Oh, greed, hatred, and delusion. But they don't know the explanation behind, understand? And they don't even know that these are evil, root of all evil, make you evil. Nobody taught them. Then sometimes they are trained to answer. 4 noble truths. Oh, then they chant, they recite the Pali one for you. Dukkha, Samudaya, Nirodha, Magga. This one they can memorize, but explain, cannot understand. There are a lot of very theoretical stuff. Noble Eightfold Path, they will give you a formula to remember, Salem Cut, and all this thing. Then they can rattle for you, right? But they don't know what this thing is. And most people, even adults, they go to Sunday school, they go to Dhamma class, they go to the Dhamma talk and all those things. Or sometimes they go retreat and all those things. I realize what they learn is very theoretical. So if you develop this type of practice, you will never progress. You will never develop the wisdom. But this one cannot awaken you. To awaken, to progress, you need more than this. You have to listen attentively. And then you have to listen with understanding. Means, you really inquire into it, reflect. Why did the Buddha say, this Four Noble Truths is so important? And why are they called Noble Truths? Because these are truths that can make you noble ones, enlightened ones. And then you see the importance of this Noble Truth. Then you ask yourself, if that is the case, I must develop clear understanding. Otherwise, I cannot understand life. I cannot develop this ability to become noble ones or enlightened ones. So the first Noble Truth, you have to listen attentively. The 8 conditions that leads to suffering. This is the Noble Truth of Dukkha. Why did the Buddha say that? How come birth is suffering? For us, birth could be a happy occasion, isn't it? We look forward to the newborn baby. We look forward to the full moon, sort of thing, to be a parent, to be grandparents. But why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? So if you reflect and contemplate, you will recollect what you have gone through in life. Then you realize, there are a lot of moments or occasions where suffering really arises. when the birth is not the usual birth. Then sometimes you birth everything perfect, but with birth come what? Old age, sickness and death, responsibility, care and all those things, attachment, craving. So all this will show it to you what that teaching is all about. Then as you reflect, as you contemplate, you develop deeper wisdom. But if you have cultivated this Dhamma before, if you have inherited them through your karmic nature, then you will understand it very fast. The moment you hear this truth, it will really like make you very attentive. It like impact upon you. Yeah. Not only ring a bell, it impact upon you. Just now before we start our class, we were having our dinner. Then they were asking some questions, I think. Then somehow we end up talking about cultivation. Now I remember, I think it was, they talk about India, huh? India. Then they saw Song and Jin Hao. These two, they say, past life must be from India, because they are so comfortable when they are in India. Then Song say, last time when he was there, I think 10 over years ago, he said he felt so at home when he was in India. He stayed at the, the place where he undergo the I don't know what you call it, Song? Huh? No, guest house is when he come out, when he was doing that thing. There is a name for it. I think it's their center. No. I say it's an ashram. He said, no, there's something else. No, never mind. Later he will tell you. So he said, when he was there, a lot of things happened. Then every time people come, he will take them around, send them to the train station, airport, and all that. So he said he was like a local guy there. And at one time he was thinking maybe he will not come home. He will end up staying there. Then Jin Hao also said he alone flew there, with no knowledge of what India is, he told me. He said because that time he was having problem. He tell Song, he said, I have to go somewhere. He said to meditate on what. He said, I cannot take it anymore because the brain is going to explode. A lot of problems. So Song gave him some recommendation. So he took a flight, he flew there, and it was, I think, almost late night already when he arrived there. Then he don't know anybody. He only got the address. So he asked a taxi, and the taxi is trying to take advantage of him alone, in a foreign country. Taxi. But somehow he found his way. Then you know what happened. After that, he said he continued to stay for quite long. I don't know, 1 month or one, more than 1 month. I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He said he find it so at home. He liked it. Everything that he did there alone. So I told them this has to do with your past life. Otherwise, you cannot have this type of interest and experience and all those things. So your past impact upon you very greatly. So somehow I relate to my own experience. That's why when Engby came in, he heard the later part about my sharing of my experience. So I was thinking I myself share it, because Engby say, Brother Teo, that part one not recorded. I said, never mind. So got conditioned because the question points towards it. So if you have cultivated before in the past, like this life, when I come, I no need people to tell me to search. The search will come when the time comes. Then when I was young, the condition is all there. Everything is there. And a lot of things is shown to me, even as I grew up. Then I can understand things very fast. But before I understand, I will be like very innocent, very naive, Of course, people who don't understand, they thought from rural area, don't have much exposure in life. So I was sent to the best school. And most of these students who attended my dad's school, they are either government servant, professional, children from very good family background. The minimum is Cikgu's son or daughter. And most of them are wealthy family. Their parents are professional people, wealthy, government servant, royalty and all those things. So I was from the rural area. Very naive. A lot of things I don't understand, I don't know. But I got no exposure. I remember when I was in Form 2 only, I managed to see a carom board. And I don't know what is that board all about. I say, how come this board so funny when I got four holes at the corner? They all laugh at me. This is carom board lah. You don't know what is a carom. Never played carom before. I say, that word is alien to me. So that was how things start. Then a lot of other things I don't know. But when I went to that school, I told you, standard one, I was last in the class. We are all the subject is zero. I don't know the language. I cannot understand anything. Then standard two, they teach arithmetic. I play card on small time at home that time. And my card, you know the three card and the blackjack. Once I have two card, I know what is the third card I want. I don't need to add one. I look at the three card, I know what is the point already. So when it comes to arithmetic, to me it's so simple. I answer that exam test, not exam, test paper, within 5 minutes, I submit. My teacher look at me. Huh? You finish? He saw everybody still haven't submitted. There you go, I think, half an hour or what. Yes, I mean. Then later on, I was second last in the class. Because of my arithmetic got 100 mark, I become second last. The rest, zero again. Then the teacher got problem. He said, how to give him the book prize? I supposed to get the book prize. But somehow the headmaster came, and the headmaster asked her, he said, what's your problem? He said, I got this student. All other subjects zero except arithmetic 100. And he's supposed to get the book prize. How? The HM very smart. He said, anybody else in the class got 100 mark? The teacher check. He said, don't have. Give it to him. He didn't copy. Nobody got 100. That's how I got it. And the moment I understand, from standard 3 onward, I did very well. I went to 4 special. 4 special is a special class where people jump class one. Then after that, I all the way, I talk. That's like the moment I understand, I move very fast. Because I study understanding one. I'm not like ordinary people one. I cannot like listen and memorize one. No point. Even when I study also, say, when I come out to work also, say, you give me a project or anything, I need to know the head or tail of this project. I see the big picture, but then I know how to plan, I know how to do a good job. Otherwise, no point. So, Dhamma is the same. When I cannot understand, I cannot move. The moment I understand, I can link everything and I can move. That's how my nature is very different. So, like I told them, like Hui Ning, the guy who chant the Diamond Sutta still don't know what the Diamond Sutta is. But he once stands around and he awakened. When he heard the stanza on the mind must have no dwelling, he straight away awakened. He came to great awakening. Why? Because his mind was already like that, without dwelling, you understand? Well, he realized his mind never dwelt anywhere, where he was born without the mundane mind. That's why he understand. For me, it was the same. When I saw the Four Noble Truths for the first time, I straight away understood what that thing is. Then a lot of the things that my teacher told me, the truth, The moment I hear, I understand. Sometimes they repeat it, or they have developed it through their own contemplative understanding. But the moment I hear it, any truth, my nature understands very fast, and it goes very deep in, because inherit from the past. That's why from your past, you will have the understanding of how all this can happen. But for most people, you can't. Because if you don't take the bodhisattva way, it's not easy, I tell you. So I share with them, because every life you come as a form of mind, you don't have much time. Do you understand? Yeah? Do you understand why you don't have much time? Because like I say, even this life with the sasana, you are so lucky. Huh? But most of you, how old did you really come into the cultivation? Huh? Quite late in your life, isn't it? You never go into it fast, isn't it? Let's say you go into it, maybe after you came out to work, you encounter a problem, then you want to understand it. But initially, you find it so difficult to learn, isn't it? To learn the teaching is not easier. Then you go to temple, you find out, then people tell you, you come lah, Sunday Dhamma class, Sunday talk, you listen lah, or you take some of the books lah, then you attend lah. Attend Dhamma classes, retreat, and all those things, or 8 precepts, 5 precepts. Then they got all the activity for you, and they ask you to come. But it's not systematic, isn't it? Correct or not? And how to learn? The people teaching also not systematic. The people teaching also don't have the clear understanding. But they just continue with the tradition. Everybody do that, you also do that. So if you don't have your past karma, chances is you cannot learn this teaching. The wisdom, we are talking about yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom. You cannot develop it. Where is born of the 3 turning, especially the first 2 turning. So you have to have that type of mind from the past, attentive. Otherwise, this life, you have to develop it. And then make the vow, everything, and connect. Otherwise, it's not easy. So, even if you go into it, most people, you don't have your past. I tell you, you can be in that so-called Buddhist environment, listening to Dhamma, doing all the things, helping out everywhere, go retreat here and there. 20 years, 30 years, you are still square one. You have not really progressed. Yeah, you never change. Yeah, you don't know what the practice is all about. You are hardly aware most of the time throughout the day. You don't have daily mindfulness. You don't know what sati is. And you have not developed the actual first, second turning wisdom. The Suttamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya. So that's why when I came, my nature was so different. When I was young, all the signs were there, and I knew what the sign was later. But initially, I knew it's something very special, because this thing can never happen unless there's a reason for it. And I already knew I was not normal. I have a nature which is very different. When I was young, I knew that. Then I understand things very differently. I do think opposite the normal convention. Then my mind has got a lot of clarity. The moment I understand very deeply. Yeah. Then all the truth that I learned, many of them, this life I never learned. Nobody taught me. And all this understanding come from that spiritual nature. Initially, it's the karmic nature that create the condition. Then you will know how to move. Then, like they asked me about the bodhisattva way and all those things. How did I come to know? Well, nobody taught this. When I was at this Fagusana, the Taiwan Trait, Zhong Tai Chan Si, when I visit this way, everything I turn and touch, the moment I read, I understand. And the book that a very simple book on, I think, bodhisattva. I think basic explanation of the bodhisattva way. I think there's a booklet by the late Shen Yan Fa Shi. It so happened that of all the free booklets there, quite a number of Kayamita collected them. Then I just collected a few, I remember, three or four copies, I forgot already. But this one impact upon me. You know. Yeah, I just want to know what was written there and how they really developed this style of cultivation. Then I flick open. Actually, the whole book is very general. Very general. Talk about very general things, mainly precepts and all those things. But then when it come to that part, when he mentioned about the five stages of Bodhi mind development, to realize Sammasambuddhahuna, I look at one by one, like I read the Four Noble Truths, exactly when, in the early day 1971, the moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, I knew what it is. No? And I straight away knew, that's it, no need to search anymore. Nobody can have this type of understanding and summarize all of his understanding into just Four Noble Truths. So these five stages of Bodhi mind development is exactly the same for the Bodhisattva way. The moment I saw that, I straight away knew what the thing is. First stage of Bodhi mind development, second stage, third stage, fourth stage, and the fifth stage. And the book never explained about these five stages of Bodhi mind development. But straight away, I knew what it was. That's why the condition all fall into place. Then I came back. People start to write to me, asking about the Bodhisattva way and all those things. And I straight away knew the condition was there. That's why you read the blue book, you will know. Everything just fall into place. Then I start to share, I start to teach. Yeah. Then just how Polian was also there, I think. She was asking Song Liu, how did Brother Teo know all this? How come he know the Bodhi mind that illuminates the true nature, Bodhi mind that embraces affliction and suffering and all the section? Then Bodhi mind that plant the seed of Bodhi to walk this way. Then Bodhi mind that renounce samsara. Then Bodhi mind that realize the consummation of the 10 perfection. How did he know all this? Not only this nature can understand, it can explain to you what this is. But this is basically like the Four Noble Truths, what the Bodhisattva has to go through, their cultivation, stage by stage, they have to go through. And this is about transformation of the nature, especially the third stage and the four basic vows. They are also beautiful. It linked to all the 10 perfections, like I explained in the blue book. So the third stage of Bodhi mind development is the Bodhi mind that illuminates your true nature. Then Song was asking, Matthew, when we connect, same or not? What do you think? When you connect, you only have a glimpse of what that thing is. No? You haven't really understood and illuminated. No? You have to connect, stabilize it, transform, then later develop the understanding. Then only that nature shine forth. That's why it illuminates that true nature. So Bodhi mind that illuminates that true nature means by then you are very clear about that nature. Your wisdom is like what they develop, they put in the Diamond Sutta and the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. The sainthood way, you already know the first hallmark of Hui Ning's teaching, or what they call the three stages of transformation in the Diamond Sutta teaching. So the first stage or the hallmark of Hui Ning's teaching is no thought. No thought means the moment you can develop and train your mind until there is no thought, means you have managed to locate your true mind. You have connected to your true mind. Ming Xing Qian Xing means you already know what that thing is. But you have not stabilized it. Yeah. After you stabilize it, this one will cause the internal transformation and the movement. Then like I explained just now, the four support for meditation. The last support, trust, you only do after you connect to that true nature. after you have located the gateway. Yeah. There a lot of things will happen. That part, you have to wait until there is condition, until somebody can do it. Then I will explain to you more. So this is how it can happen. Then when it happens, the internal movement and transformation is a lot of things that will happen, finally leading to your mundane mind collapse. After your mundane mind collapse, then pure nature inside shine forth. Understand? Shine forth. And this is like illuminating your nature. So the Bodhi mind that illuminates that true nature is when your mundane mind collapse and this one shine forth. Then when it happens, you will never regress anymore. That's why they say you have reached the stage of no more falling back. So they call it, in the Mahayana, there's another sutta that explains the 10 stages of Bodhisattva ground. When you cultivate the Bodhisattva way to realize Buddhahood, the Mahayana sutta or the other sutta, they have 10 steps. They call it the 10 Bodhisattva steps or ground. You have to break them. You have to reach the 8th ground. I don't know in Mandarin what they call. Tipa, Pati Pusa. When you hit that one, you will not fall back anymore. You understand? Not fall back means when there is no sasana, you can fall back. When you hit that one, you will never fall back. And to hit that one, you must have a lot of perfection, cultivation, and understanding. So all these are possible if you have developed the cultivation before, if you have understood what this cultivation is. So what I try to explain is, every life you come, without this past coming back, without inheriting your special karmic nature and your spiritual nature, it is impossible for you to walk this way. Because every life you come, how much can you learn? If you don't inherit, you have to start from basic. No? You know why starting from basic? A, B, C again. No? Then slowly, slowly, by the time you progress before the sainthood way, you already, the breath gone. Understand? No? Then next line, without the vow, without the aspiration, come back, another gong gong lai, gong gong toa, gong gong jia, gong gong si. So how many times? That's why you hardly progress. Not until you hit some very favorable condition, like sasana, like this line. That's why I say this window don't waste. You have the affinity and the condition. That's why I say you all have your past. You only need to realize it later. And because of that, you can encounter the Buddha Dharma. Not only encounter, born as a human being, encounter the Buddha Dharma, encounter the true teaching. Then you have the condition to understand this cultivation in such clear manner and in such detail. You only need to make the aspiration, the vow. Take the first step. Plant the seed of Bodhi with great understanding, sincerity, and faith. Do it until it's very firmly planted. Then your future is all taken care of. Then when you go through the vow, the aspiration is stated there. You vow to have, you aspire to have this type of right view and right understanding life after life. The two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind. Then every life you come, you must have this right view, this right understanding. The three right view with respect to the law of karma, law of mind, law of dhamma. Karma niyama, citta niyama, dhamma niyama. So all this will stabilize understanding. That it somehow teach you how to do the repentance, ask for forgiveness, to break your karmic obstruction. Karmic obstruction from the triple gem, from all beings. And to create affinity with great beings. This is all the things that will allow you to have the understanding life after life even without sasana so that your cultivation can continue and you will not like normal human being. During sasana progress, without sasana, lost the know for how long. Then got condition, sasana come back. You know one sasana to the next sasana, how long or not? It's so long. Then sometimes you may not have the condition where you make the wrong vow. You vow to be born during Maitreya's time, but you never vow to recognize him and understand and follow him. So all this can make you lost for a very long time, understand? Then sometimes you don't have the condition. Other things can happen, like Alara and Udaka. They believe that is the highest. That's why they take birth up there, the formless rhyme. And they can be there for very long. So all these are the conditions that can cause the cultivator, the living being, to detour or to sidetrack and lost the way. After understanding this, you have to determine very strongly through faith, through sincerity, through an understanding that this is really the golden era, the golden window, the golden opportunity for your nature to really develop the right understanding and to make the right affirmation, aspiration and vow. And just go. You got nothing to lose, everything to gain. If this is what that has worked for people, my nature and other people's nature, why don't you give it a try? You can find out for your own, yourself whether it is really something that will help you. Yeah. Because all the other cultivation, if you don't do it with understanding, you can never realize the real wisdom. So now I will summarize the understanding of the initial wisdom. I think our talk at Susan's house was very good. It was like meant to be. How many of you were at Susan's house? 16. Quite a number. Luckily, Man Yuan go and do the short notes. Although the short notes was a summary, but good enough. Okay, we turn to that short note. I have sent it out with an outline short note for Brother Teo sharing at Sister Susan's house on 16th of February. So this one, I will read to you because there are two parts. First part is on understanding the true Dhamma cultivation. And that one is answering Angie's tonight's question. Because it was a Chinese New Year, so I told them, good wishes does not come true merely by act of wishing. We need to develop wholesomeness, goodness and understanding of the Buddha Dharma or the Buddha's teaching to materialize those wishes. Dharma can also help change and improve our life for the better. Then only we know how to live life. Good karmic fruition will only arise through good deeds cultivated. So all the other thing, forget about it, feng shui, all those things. If you don't take care of karma, none of those things is going to help you, I tell you. You go and hang this, hang that, or the rite and ritual, or go and buy all the amulet. I tell you, without the cultivation, it is not going to be of much use. Then number two is, we need to do the 5 daily contemplation as advised by the Buddha every day. That one is the 5 daily contemplation. The first 3 contemplation on old age, sickness and death. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and finally die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. And it goes the way of nature. So this first 3 contemplation is about your physical body. It is not real. It's impermanent. It's anatta. Not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence it's not what you think, non-self. So when you understand, you use it to live life, to cultivate, because it's a vehicle that comes with the karmic conditioning. Then the fourth contemplation is to understand separation. The fourth contemplation on separation from loved one and material possession, when condition for the relationship and ownership cease, separation will occur. And the fifth contemplation, this one most important, contemplation on the law of karma. We are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma, and our entire life depends on karma, every moment and every instant. Hence, one need to take care of karma by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, perform wholesomeness, and purify our mind so that it will not be deceived by the phenomenal world. So this part is very important. Okay. Then the second one is heedfulness born of delusion. Heedlessness born of delusion is very dangerous, because the heedless are as if dead. People who are deluded and heedless will commit evil, make mistakes, and brings about coming downfall. We need to observe the five precepts, sila, as precepts are the source of spiritual joy, wealth, and peacefulness of mind. This spiritual joy, peacefulness of mind are very conducive for meditation. That's why you don't keep your precept, your mind will have the mental hindrance. It leads to a tranquil mind with clarity and samadhi within. You can then understand who we really are, how the mundane mind arises and passes away, how consciousness arises, and how through wrong view we input the wrong content of consciousness. Samadhi can allow us to see things as they are, leading to wisdom. When we understand nothing within the conditioned world is permanent, our wisdom or panya will grow. That is why the Buddha said to cultivate meditation, we need to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya. These are all natural sequence. And without sila, there is no genuine samadhi. Without samadhi, born of a free mind, you cannot see things as they are to arise the wisdom. So that's the reason why it is all connected, sila, samadhi, and panya. The importance of cultivating merits. When we have merits, we can invoke power of merits to always enable us to meet up with the wise and never the foolish to progress along the path of Dhamma. When we are mindful, we can abandon wrong thought that has arisen through the five ways as taught by the Buddha. Anger is not you. Just be with it in silent awareness. When there is no more wrong view, anger will automatically dissipate and cease. The true mind before the stirring is always peaceful, because it is just aware without thought. It is through delusion that the mind stirs through wrong view and conditioning. If we realize this, there will be wisdom. We need then to trace the origination factor through contemplation and reflection. How did anger arise? Why did you react? How do you straighten your view? Before it arises, there was no anger, there was nothing. It arises due to wrong view. The cause of its arising is always through the sense door. For example, when you see something, we recall to mind our previous experience of it. We then act according to memory. If we are mindful, we will realize this and end the habitual tendency to react the same old way. How do you straighten your view? You need to see things as they are, not what your memory, views, and opinion tell you. Silence your mind and do not label. The cause is mainly karma related. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So do not blame anyone. Accept the reality of the moment. This does not mean you agree with the situation. When you accept, it means you understand the truth and the reality. When conditions are like that, things will be like that. Hence, there is no evil root born of wrong view to stir your mind. There is peace of mind. With this peaceful state of mind, look for solution to resolve all issue amicably with wisdom. We need to have right view with regards to the law of karma, law of mind, and law of dhamma to act correctly. Ignorance leads to thinking. When we think, we make contact with mind, which is an organ, the brain. This causes the mind consciousness to arise. At this moment, it's just pure consciousness. When we input the content of consciousness via our views and opinion, the pure consciousness becomes the five mental aggregates of form and mind, the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, thus forming the thought. For thought to arise, there must be sense basis. Then there is contact to condition feeling, feeling to condition craving, leading to grasping, then becoming and birth, leading to the whole mess of suffering. So this is how you develop your cultivation. You keep your precept, you have this type of mind that is free of the hindrance, then you cultivate accordingly to develop the understanding. Then you reflect and contemplate on the teaching. Why did the Buddha say anger is not me? Why did the Buddha say Sankara is impermanent? Sankara is anatta. So you reflect, you contemplate. Then when you silence your mind in the meditation, you will see all this, you will understand all this. That's how you can develop the initial wisdom. So reflection and contemplation is the second turning. The first turning is to listen attentively to develop the initial understanding of the teaching, the Dhamma, Pariyatti. Then if you have cultivated before in the past, this first turning wisdom can be quite powerful. You can awaken, like Hui Ning and my nature and other things. The moment we hear, we understand. But if you reflect and contemplate and inquire, then it stabilizes. Then it becomes very different. Then as it stabilizes, it's like you start to stabilize all the Dhamma that you have heard or read. Then you start to use them through an inquiry, reflection and contemplation. Then this understanding will stabilize further. Then you start to assimilate them. If you don't have your past, you have to do the second turning, no choice. Well, this second turning is to develop understanding. As you reflect, contemplate, your mind is quite calm, quite peaceful, little or no thought, and you are in the contemplative state. Means your mind is relatively peaceful, relatively aware, without the hindrance. That's why you can reflect, you can contemplate, you can inquire. Then you develop a deeper understanding. As you inquire, reflect, and contemplate, you will recollect through your life experience what these realities are and why did the Buddha say all this and how can you understand all this. So all this comes from reflection, inquiry. Then when you develop this first and second turning wisdom, this is real wisdom, Manasana, because you do it with a trained mind, a mind that is relatively quiet with the spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, leading to Panya. And this is how the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara, come about. Like I mentioned, when you start to understand why anger is not you, why fear is not you. Because when you reflect, you realize, before there was anger, before there was fear, my nature don't have it there. And how did they arise? They arise after my mind stir and react. You're supposed to see this in the meditation, during the silence. That's why whenever you are agitated, fearful or angry, that is the condition for you to meditate. You just silence everything. Don't try to reason. Just silence and find out. If I maintain awareness, if I don't want to know, if I don't do anything, what will happen to the anger? What will happen to the fear? You try it. It's very, very powerful, very potent. Then you realize by not doing anything, it dissipates. initially it will slow down and it dissipates. Then you realize the original state of mind that is peaceful, aware, and still come back to you. Then you realize that is your true mind. Without stirring, without movement, without thought, that's it. Then you realize no need to be aware like what people say. Why you want to learn to be aware? Through wisdom, I just silent. I already aware. Understand? Then you stabilize it. Is it so difficult to stabilize it? When that state arises already, just continue to relax, silent. And then that one is a free mind that will go into that stability of mindfulness and develop capacity, leading to samadhi. Then after that, when you come out, when your mind enters sati, the daily mindfulness is automatic. Everything you realize, you are now in sati, where your mind is in sati. That's how you train. Not all the methods and techniques that one make you gullible, where you never inquire, you don't know what you are doing. That one only for people who don't have the spiritual faculty and the understanding. Well, the mind is so healer, wow. Cannot be quiet. So what they do? They need an object of meditation to anchor it, to fix it. Then they need to focus and concentrate on it. That's what all the method and technique and all this thing is for. But anapanasati is to develop mindfulness of your in and out breath. Nothing to do with concentration and focusing. Nothing to do with nothing. It's just aware. But when you have the spiritual faculty, you don't have to do anything. Just follow the four support. Relax, maintain awareness. Whatever arise, let it arise. Thought, emotion, or whatever, let it arise. Then if you don't give it any more mental energy, it will naturally slow down, dissipate, and cease. Like Krishnamurti's quote, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. You know what is flowering or not? Do you know what is flowering? Bloom until it cannot bloom? It will wither, isn't it? That is the flowering of thought. And I said, let it flower. Complete. Finish. Don't try to know. Then it will wither and drop out. Then you realize, wow, that pretty, fresh hue flower, really impermanent. We are conditioned arising state. When condition cease to be, you see how it wither off, how it cease to be. That's why I like the word ephemeral. You know what is the meaning or not? You don't know, a lady should know. Beauty is ephemeral. Now you know that. Doesn't last. You all haven't heard of this word? How to spell? M-A or M-E? M-E, This word, the moment I heard this word, when I was in Form 5, I was so happy. I got a lot of joy. Because this is the word I need to use. A lot of things doesn't last on. Your youth. Your beauty. What happened? Suddenly, guess what? Something inside, I thought you acknowledged, yes. So this word can help you. Correct or not, the meaning? Oh, no R. E-P-H-E, no R. Thank you. M-E. 什么来着? Doesn't last. Doesn't last. So ephemeral, yes. So learn this word. Your youth, your beauty, your what? It doesn't last. And you say impermanent, sometimes the thing didn't have an impact on you, understand? But if you say it doesn't last, really impact on you. I don't know, maybe you are different. You like the word impermanent because the Buddhist teaching always say impermanent. But for me, the word that is more relevant is this one, ephemeral, doesn't last. So you believe in true love or not? That day, Valentine's Day, my son flew back from Singapore. Yeah? Then I think that day itself was Valentine's Day. So because he was in a hurry, he flew back, there was no rose, no flower given. Then the girlfriend called. And then he told us, girlfriend want flower. Then I say, what for? Today is Valentine's Day, isn't it? Still want flower. Flower is not true love, isn't it? Flower doesn't last, correct or not? That type of love you want, give you one day only, gone already, wither already, slowly. The true one inside the heart, that one, eternal love. But when the thought take over, the eternal love become what? You have the English saying, when poverty knocks on the door, love flew off the window. So there is only love when there is condition. Understand? When poverty knocks on the door, poverty really can make life miserable, isn't it? Then you think, without true understanding of the word love, the Dhamma, the mundane mind will definitely fail to understand. And you will have problem. That's why the human mind cannot be trusted. I remember Chief Reverend K. Sri Dhammananda, he always say this, but he himself know. He said, this human mind is the worst. Can never be trusted. But he himself cannot trust his own mind. You understand? Because this one, when it's under delusion, heedlessness, I tell you, it's havoc. It's really havoc. That's why it's not easy to tame this mundane mind. To train this mundane mind. Tame and train. Because without wisdom connected to it, it will be heedless. It will do whatever it wants to do. So it's not easy. So that part, okay. Your actual question is what? Is it to understand how to develop Yoniso Manasikara? Then I answer you already. Yes.
Yeah. I think besides the sense door.
Sense door.
The sixth sense.
When you are mindful, it's very different.
There's also the memory and other disturbances.
That's why you have to be aware of how through memory, when you retrieve through memory, how this memory actually condition you to do all these things. That's why I understood deeply and clearly what memory is. Because the moment Jai Krishnamurti mentioned that word, acting according to memory is not acting at all. I straight away salute him. I tap at him. I say, this guy is really good. Because it's really what I saw. What is memory? All of your views, opinion, and conditioning. Everything that you accumulate. Your experiences, good and bad. Your scars of memory, your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your whatever moments in life. And this one has a lot of evil roots inside there. So you act according to memory, you're not acting at all. Why? Because you are acting out of your fear, understand? Your insecurity, your phobia, your delusion. Before you have the wisdom connected, before you awaken, this memory, this brain, don't have right view, don't have wisdom. That's why you cannot use that to act. So how should you act? You should act with understanding, wisdom. And wisdom needs to be awakened too. Wisdom is not a knowledge. You cannot learn to be wise. You understand? That's why the Buddha cannot teach you wisdom. You think he is not compassionate enough. He is the most compassionate being ever born. If he can teach, he will have teach you. If he can give you wisdom, you think he doesn't want to give you. Because it's not something that he can teach you or give it to you. What he is trying to tell you is, I can only show you the way, understand or not? You have to walk the path yourself. What is the meaning? You have to cultivate and realize it yourself, understand? Do you understand? That wisdom need to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. That's why in the salutation to the Sangha, the Dhamma, towards the end, what do you chant? Pache tang, veditabo, vinohiti. This Dhamma, which is the wisdom, can only be realized by who? By the wise, each for themselves. That's why it cannot be taught. You have to walk the path, you have to cultivate, you have to realize it yourself. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand. Who say cannot be taught? The Buddha teach the Dhamma. Taught living being. You think he not compassionate? He can make you wise and enlightened overnight. You think he don't want to do? He cannot do. Because you have to awaken yourself. Means you have to understand his teaching and do the cultivation. Walk the path. Awaken and realize yourself. It's just like eating food. Can I eat for you? Cannot, isn't it? You won't feel, isn't it? You have to eat yourself. Only you can have that feeling that you have taken food. So, in a similar way, it's an analogy for you to understand. This Dhamma is to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Means, not until you awaken, you cannot realize it. That's why the one that realizes it must be the enlightened one. Yeah. And it's in the salutation to the Dhamma. That's why the Buddha make it so clear. What is this Dhamma that I teach? In the salutation, he explained it very clearly. He said, this Dhamma, which is well expounded by him, is sanditiko. What is sanditiko? Huh? Can be realized? In the here and the now. No need to wait until death. So if they promise you after death only eternal heaven, forget about it. But this Dhamma can be realized in the here and the now, before you die. Because it's sanditiko. Then, akaliko. What is akaliko? It is timeless. Beyond the mental time. That's why no thought. Beyond thought. Beyond mind. We are the mundane mind is thought. That's why it's the timeless, akaliko. It has to be awakened to. Not with the thought, looking for it. On the knowledge, trying to understand it. That one is not the Dhamma. Then this Dhamma is ehipasiko. It stands up to investigation. You can come and investigate. Put it to test. It's always there. It always stand up to investigation. Then the fourth one is what? Opanaiko. This Dhamma is leading inward into your nature. That's why you have to go to your gateway. Understand now? If it doesn't lead inward into your nature, that is not the Dhamma that the Buddha taught. But this Dhamma is from that silent mind, from that nature. That's why when it awakens, it will lead you back to that nature. Opanaiko. Then the wisdom that come out of it is pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves, nobody else. That's why this Dhamma is not what you think. You can teach and give, I also will give. You think I am not compassionate enough. Everybody who is having that nature will be very compassionate to give. But it cannot be given like that, understand? But all these beings, they can create condition for you to receive it. And you are very lucky if you are in the midst of the sasana. And when you encounter their nature, because their nature is very different. Yeah. That's why it's very easy for you to develop the awakening, the enlightenment. If you don't have the sasana, you don't have their nature, energy, it's not easy, I can tell you. It's really, really not easy. Every life you come, one segment of your form and mind, how much can you learn? By the time you understand this teaching, you want to put it to practice, you already, how old are you? This life, maybe you are lucky. You understand the teaching earlier, then you put it into cultivation. Most of you are still not that old. Some just retired. Still a lot of time, like Mahathir live until 94. But don't take life for granted, because average lifespan is 70-something only, about 76. But don't worry, because the moment you have this understanding, you develop the very strong affirmation, adhitana, means you develop a very strong sincerity to go this way, determination, affirmation. Then you plant the seed of bodhi. You take the vow of the four basic vow of the bodhisattva. Then determine to have this type of understanding, life after that, life after life, whether you choose to come or you have to come. So that this bodhi mind, this aspiration, this affirmation, we are invoking power of merits, can be planted deep inside your nature, your consciousness, deep. So that it will nurture, it will move. Whenever it arises, whether you got sasana or no sasana, this one will move. Like this line, like just now I explained to them after dinner. How come after Form 4, when I know geography and science, I start to look at the sky and the star and all those things. Nobody taught me. And I was not from a family that is spiritual. No, nothing. Just typical Chinese family, right and ritual. My mother really right and ritual. And my father don't believe anything. He only believe in knowledge, education and all those things. We are the typical China man that love the Mandarin teaching and the culture. When I was young, he teach me all this. He read to me, because I English school. He teach me the Sang Guo Yan Yi, the trigger. He just talk to me almost alternate day or whatever, whenever free, whenever he see me. Until I know the Sang Guo Yan Yi, before I see the show. And that is really useful, because there is a lot of Dhamma inside that teaching. Zhuge Liang. Zhuge Liang. The other name is Kong Ming. He also knows about the Tian Tian. He also has a lot of wisdom. He can see condition. He can predict the nature. And he know. That's why they study all this. Then he look at the star. He know that Cao Cao is going to be very weak. This is the time to attack him. Yeah, they are supported by certain star and all those things. So there are a lot of these things. But what is important is, oh, sorry, I shouldn't deviate. I should go back, because my mother, they are not from the spiritual. Then how come my nature at that age can look into the sky at night alone and inquire, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here in such an immense universe? And that time I knew the Earth is just one of the third planet, and we are one of the 5 to 6 billion human beings on this planet. And we are so insignificant. And human beings think that we are very great. Then I asked myself, every star is a potential sun, if not bigger. And the number of stars and sun, like the Buddha say in his book, later on when I read his book, he said the number of heavenly stars, they are more than the sand on the Ganges. You know the Ganges River, how long, how much sand is there? And he can tell you 2,000 years ago, that there are more stars in the heaven than the amount of sand in the Ganges River. Just imagine that type of wisdom. That's why after that, my mind starts to probe. Then suddenly deep inside, from the nature, tell me the answer. You have to meditate to understand. That time, I don't even know what is meditation. Oh, I don't know. But I was very strong in the understanding. Yeah, I knew, yeah, must meditate. That's it. Then after that, everything just fall into place. And I like to see those type of swordsmanship type of show, where people meditate in the cave. The martial art, not martial art, the Jianghu one. So that one, I really love it. I remember the first few show is the heron, Sen He, Sen Zhen, the heron. Then they got these wise people, the wise people. And then I also like the show of Sakyamuni's life history. I will go and see one. Oh, very funny one. Then my mother take me to temple. I can never pay respect to all the deities. I will count 1 to 10, I put my joystick down. But when I went to the Kuan Yin Miao and all things, Kuan Yin, Buddha and all things, even the Earth Star Bodhisattva, the four great beings, I would just go and pay respect. I don't know why. That time I don't know who they are. But this inside here will just bow down and pay respect. Then later on when I grew up, only I come to know what these beings are. And because of affinity, that's why all this can happen. Then the first time I went out to Cameron, San Pao Si, also it's a very strange experience. That place also a lot of great beings, nature there. Okay, hopefully I have answered your question. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then there is a second part to the outline short note, Susan's house on. The second part is very good. Second part is on the sainthood way versus the bodhisattva way. This one you go back and read. Or if you want to develop the sharing, maybe next Thursday we can do it. Okay. So we shall share merit, transfer merit, then we can end. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana eta wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Also this Sunday is Elsie's house dana. So just make a note. We will start at 11:30. So try to come before that. Okay.